Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah Mem Gimel. We are starting immediately after the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Beis. We started yesterday the fourth parak of the Masechta. Let's reintroduce the fourth parak. We know that obviously Sukkah is a 7-day affair. Now, really, it's an 8-day affair, but the 8th day is not Sukkah. The 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. It's a Yanta Bifnei Asmo. But obviously, it is an attachment to Sukkah. So, the colloquially, we'll refer to the whole 8 days as Sukkah, but meanwhile, more technically, the first 7 days of Sukkot and the 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. We know that for the 7 days of Sukkot, so there's a mitzvah, Leishev B'Sukkah. There's also a mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. And then obviously for the 8th day, so we lose the mitzvahs. We lose the mitzvah of Sukkot. We lose the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. And there is, of course, it's just Yontif. Okay, now later in this Masechta, later in the fourth parak, so we'll talk more about nowadays that we have Sveika Diyuma, we have a doubt in terms of which day it is, so that we observe 2 days of Yontif. So how it's going to get a little bit complicated, meaning that once we hit the eighth day may possibly be the 7th day. So that is a bit confusing, and we're going to get to that soon enough in the Gemara. What do we do now on our 8th day of Galus? On one hand, Sukkot is over. On the other hand, Sukkot may not be over. Okay, already that's confusing, and I don't mean to lose you so early on in this year, but where the Gemara is going to get to that. But meanwhile, just to keep everything as simple as possible, so in Eretz Yisrael, so it's 7 days of Sukkot and then Shmini Atzeres. Now that we have a mitzvah of Sukkot for 7 days, so that part's easy, meaning obviously that's going to be for 7 days, both when Sukkot coincides with a weekday, which is going to be 6 of the days, and when Sukkot coincides with Shabbos as well. There is no contradiction between Shabbos and Sukkot. You simply walk out of your house and go into the Sukkah. There may be Erev issues, or it may not be connected. Okay, but those are problems which are avoidable. The Dalaminim, the Lulav that we take on 7 days of Sukkah, so what happens on the day in which it coincides with Shabbos? As the Gemara is going to point out, there is a significant problem. The first problem, which is never going to happen, is that, let's say the lulav is connected to the ground. So what are you going to do now? You're going to clip the lulav off the ground. That's an Isser Shabbos. But that's not going to be a problem because you're going to have your lulav prepared before Shabbos. The problem's going to be is that you are in liability or the possible liability of carrying it outside on Shabbos. Carrying it outside on Shabbos is otzah. So is it going to be, are you going to be able to do that? The answer, of course, is no. That is a violation of Shabbos. Now, we did learn on the last Mishnah of the third Perek that if you do so you're not going to be chayv a carbon chatas, meaning you at least will get a patur from a carbon because you're toh bidvar mitzvah. But there's still no allowance to do so. You're not allowed to do so. And so now, what we learned in the first mission, the fourth parak, is the following, which is that when the first day of Yontav and Shabbos coincide, so now there's not only a mitzvah of lulav, but everyone's going to take lulav, despite the fact that today is Shabbos. If the year comes out where Shabbos comes out on any of the other days of Sukkah, the first day is not Shabbos, so then that means to say that Shabbos is going to be on days 2 through 7, any one of those days, doesn't matter. So then we are not going to be taking the lulav on that Shabbos, and so that means for that year we're only going to be taking lulav 6 of the 7 days. Okay. And then what the Mishnah did, and we're not going to go through the whole Mishnah again, is that the Mishnah pointed out that you have this phenomena, not only by the mitzvah of lulav, but you have it by the mitzvah of arava, and the Mishnah went through all the various mitzvos that occur over Sukkot, and sometimes you have this phenomena, sometimes not. But right now, our focus is going to be on lulav, so let's remain focused on lulav. And that is the idea that when the first day comes out on Shabbos, so then it overrides, but if the first day is not coming out on Shabbos, so whatever day Shabbos is, so there's no mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. And that year, Lulav is only going to be for 6 days. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. That sets us up for a really simple question, which the Gemara begins. Amai, the Gemara wants to know, why should that be? We're on the very bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, and we are starting with the Gemara. Okay. Sorry, just handling a technical issue. Good. So amai tiltal ba'amahu. So the Gemara wants to know. So it should be tiltal, meaning what are you violating, right? If in fact you're going to be taking the lulav on Shabbos, regardless of what day it is, what iser da'oraisa is there? As long as you don't go outside, as long as you stay in your house, so it's muksa. Okay, muksa. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to take lulav. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. V'lidchei Shabbos. So let it be Doche Shabbos. So the, now let's sharpen the question even more. Because if we're talking about, outside of Yerushalayim, so the mitzvah is midrabbanan. Meaning, right, the only reason why we're taking it outside is because of Zech LeMikdash. Which means, first of all, that's only after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Meaning when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was no mitzvah at all. So, and even if we're talking about after Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about a mitzvah derabbanan. Okay, so there, it could be offsetting. Meaning, it's a mitzvah derabbanan. The Isser of Tiltel is an Isser derabbanan. Okay, so there, it could be that they offset each other. But as Rashi points out over here, to sharpen the Gemara's question, we're not talking about outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about, A, during the period of the Beis HaMikdash, and B, we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we learned yesterday, in the Beis HaMikdash, we learned a couple days ago, in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a mitzvah, min ha-Torah, to take lulav all 7 days. So now, there's a mitzvah, min ha-Torah, to take lulav all 7 days, and the only thing that is preventing you from doing so is a muksa, is an isra muksa midrabanan. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara wants to know, how could the isra muksa midrabanan go ahead and override the mitzvah min ha-Torah of lulav b'mikdash, which is called shiva, it's all 7 days? That's the Gemara's question. So Rabbi says it's a gzera d'rabanan. What the rabbis were concerned about is that you pick up the lulav and you think to yourself, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, I'll go to my Rebbe, I'll go to my Rav. And so he takes the lulav out of his house and he heads towards his Rav. And Vayavirena is returned to the top of Mem Gimel Med Aleph. And what he's going to be doing is, Vayavirena Arba Amos Berushos Rabim. And he'll be in violation of Hotzah. Now, to be more accurate, to be more specific, not Hotzah, but being Mavir, going 4 Amos within a Rishos Rabim. Behind the time of the Shofar, behind the time of the Megillah. And the Gemara says, and by the way, this also explains why it is that Shofar is not going to be overriding Shabbos in a situation, in an event where Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, which it happens. So under those circumstances, we're not going to be blowing Shofar. Why not? The blowing of the Shofar is an Issur D'Rabbanan, right? You're being Mashmiya Kol. You're producing a sound, but that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. So why isn't it going to override the Shabbos? So again, Gzera. The Chachamim are concerned that you don't know what you're doing. You pick up the Shofar, you're trying to blow it. You don't know how to blow it, or you don't know what to blow. So once again, you're going to be taking it outside. You're going to be going to your Rav. You'll go to your Rebbe, and you're going to be carrying 4 Amos and a Rishos HaRabim. And the same thing is true regarding Megillah as well. Meaning when Purim and Shabbos coincide, now happens to be that with a fixed calendar, never going to happen. Never going to happen outside of Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, by the way, it happens. Because the 14th never will coincide with Shabbos, but the 15th will coincide with Shabbos. Meaning, we have that Purim comes out on a Friday this past year. So that means to say now that the 15th will come out on a Shabbos. So in Yerushalayim, so you can have Purim and Shabbos coincide. And here, Gzera d'Rabba. Again, the concern is that you're going to carry the Megillah in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Hanu time of the Shofar, Hanu time of the Megillah. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So there is a mitzvah of Dalin Minim on Shabbos. And the reason why the Chachamim said and there's a mitzvah min haTorah because we're talking about Bizman Beis HaMikdash and we're talking about when you're in the vicinity of the Mikdash. And yet, the Chachamim said that when it's a Shabbos, so, and it's not the first day, you can't take it. Why? Because Shema Yavirin Adala Amos, because you may carry it 4 Amos in a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, there is a lengthy discussion to be had over here. I'm not going to discuss it, but I'll just simply bring it up. And that is that the Gemara over here is focusing on Dal Amos Rishos Rabbim. The Gemara and the Gemara talk about being motzi from one Rishos to another Rishos. You're going from your house into a public, into a public place, right? From a and that is being motzi Rishos Yach Rishos Rabbim. Hotza'ah. Meaning, why doesn't Gemara discuss Hotza'ah over here? See Rashi, see Tosfos, right? There's a lot of Torah over here to be discussing. Why doesn't the Gemara mention Hotza'ah? I'm just simply not going to discuss it because of the, in the interest of time, we have to finish the daf. But anyway, that there's much to discuss over there. So the but anyway, good. That's what we're holding by the Gemara. The Gemara asks now the obvious question: Yahachi Yom Rishonami. So if there is a gzera, if there is a concern in which the rabbis were concerned that we're going to end up carrying it in the Rishos HaRabim, So why is that concern limited to where Shabbos coincides with any of the other days of Sukkot? What about when Shabbos coincides with the first day? The same concern exists, meaning I may end up carrying it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So why is there no concern when Shabbos coincides with the first day? Why is there only a concern when Shabbos coincides with any of the other days of Sukkot? So the Gemara's answer is, so ihachiyam rishonami, rishon ha'takinulei rabbanan bebeso. So the Gemara says, well, if you recall, go back to yesterday's Mishnah. Remember what happened yesterday's Mishnah? So everyone was bringing it to the base of Mikdash, and then unfortunately it became too chaotic. And there was a real sakana, a real danger that someone was going to get hurt. So what they did is they basically said, everyone stay home. Okay, so stay home. So the Gemara says, ha'tenechachar takana kon takana ma'ikal ha'memar. Boy, is that an incomplete answer. Meaning, okay, so it got too chaotic, and therefore they told everyone to stay home, and so that's why they're not concerned. The Gemara says, okay, but that's after the takana. But what about before the takana? Meaning there was a historical period in time where everyone came to the Azara. So you should be concerned about carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Ela Rishon de Isim in a Torah Bigvulan lo Gazru Behu Rabbanan. So Hanach de Leislum in a Torah Bigvulan Gazru Behu Rabbanan. Okay, so the Gemara says good. So here's the difference between day one and all the subsequent days. In day one, so what comes out is that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, both in the base of Mikdash and outside the base of Mikdash as well. So for day one, everyone's got a mitzvah in the Torah to take dalam minim. So therefore, the Chachamim said, look, on one hand, we would like to make a gzera derabbanan. On the other hand, we have to acknowledge and want to emphasize that there's a mitzvah in the Torah for everybody, those in and outside the base of Mikdash. Okay. So that's why on day one, the Chachamim were not gozer. But when Shabbos coincides with any other day, and on any other day there is no mitzvah to take dalam minim outside the base of Mikdash, and there's only in the Mikdash, so then the Chachamim goes there. So Ihachi, the Gemara says, really, so ha'idunami, so the Gemara says, okay, so what comes out is as follows. It should be now that this is not just limited to the time of the base of Mikdash, but even nowadays as well. Nowadays as well, where we no longer have a base of Mikdash, so there still is Yom Rishon, and on Yom Rishon, there's a mitzvah in the Torah for everybody to take dalam minim, which means now that when the first day coincides with Shabbos, so conclusion should be, so we should take dalam minim. Right? Why don't we? To which the Gemara's response is, ana lo yodim b'kfiyah d'archa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? We really don't know which day is the first day of Sukkot. Again, we're holding in a period of Sfeika d'Yuma. We are unsure in terms of when the calendaric day of the 15th actually is, based on the fact that we are living outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Shluchei Basin are not arriving over here. So even though in Eretz Yisrael they established what day was Rosh Chodesh, this Rosh Chodesh happens to also be Rosh Hashanah, so in Eretz Yisrael they established it, but since we are unfamiliar, we do not know Kviyah D'Archa, we do not know which day it is, so therefore we are with that uncertainty of not knowing which the first day is. So even when the first day coincides with Shabbos, it may not be the first day, and therefore it's not going to override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but inu diada b'kviyah diarcha litche. So the Gemara says, okay, but in Eretz Yisrael they know. So that means to say that in Eretz Yisrael, where they know for sure which day is the first day of Sukkot, and when that first day coincides with Shabbos, just like during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it overrid the Shabbos, so too, even after Churban Beis HaMikdash, it should still override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says something amazing right now. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Now, when the Gemara says you're right, what it sounds like the Gemara is conceding is that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, okay, so we're going to take dalam minim. Now, if anyone happened to have been in Eretz Yisrael on Sukkot, and it happened to have been a Sukkot where the first day coincides with Shabbos, so hopefully what you observed is that nobody took dalam minim because of Shabbos and the Gzeira Darabah. So the Gemara's answer over here, Enachinami, you're right. What is the Gemara talking about? You're right. It's not. It doesn't seem to be right. In practice, no one is doing it. So Tosos says to all of us, be patient. Tosos writes over here, we are not yet at the Maskana of the Gemara. We are just simply a stage of the Gemara, where it's at this stage of the Gemara has conceded, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, they should take the Dal Minim on the first day, even if the first day coincides with Shabbos. That's where we're at right now. But Tosfos says, but wait, because later, as we get to the end of the sugya, it's going to take a while, right? This is a long sugya. It's going to go well beyond today's daf. And when all said and done, the conclusion is going to be that bizmanenu, we do not take Dalaminim on Shabbos, even if it coincides with the first day, even if you're in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's going to be the conclusion. Why that's the conclusion? Again, let's all wait. Let's all be patient. And we'll see it inside. So we learned in one Mishnah that when it's Yom Tov Rishon Shechag, that happens to coincide with Shabbos, so everyone would bring their lulav to Har Habayis. V'tan Yidach, and we learned in another Mishnah, it's coming up, LeBeis HaKnesses, that they would go to the shul. So Shema Mina. So right now, at this stage of the Gemara now is fully supporting and endorsing this answer, in which they would take the lulav on day one. When there was the Beis HaMikdash, so good. So they would do so in the Beis HaMikdash. And when there was no Beis HaMikdash, they would do so in the Beis HaKnesses. We have two Mishnayos, one describing the Beis HaMikdash, the other describing the Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara's conclusion is, one's talking about Bisman Beis HaMikdash, and the other one's talking about post-Chorban. They're both describing Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, the first one's describing Eretz Yisrael. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. But the second one's also describing Eretz Yisrael. And right now, the Gemara is fully supporting and endorsing this answer that in Eretz Yisrael, where they know about Kfiyat D'Archa, they know exactly the calendar and they know exactly which day is Sukkos. So then when day number one is coinciding with Shabbos, so you're going to be taking Dalaminim. Okay, that's where we're at right now in the Gemara. Again, just as a cautionary note to all of us, we have to wait, meaning because this will not be the Gemara's conclusion. Amar. No. I'm sorry. Back up just a little bit. The Isay Minotar B'Gvul Minalan. So the Gemara says now, this idea that there's a mitzvah Minotar, meaning the Gemara just assumed that this is so, and the Gemara just would like to now cover its basis, fully establish the fact that there is a mitzvah Minotar of taking Dalaminim on day one everywhere, not just in the Beis HaMikdash. How do I know that? So the Gemara says, I know that because of a drasha. A drasha that we're familiar with, we've gone through earlier in the Masechta, and we get to review. So the Isa min haTorah b'gvul minalan d'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, l'kachtam sh'tei l'kicha b'yad kol echa v'echad. So it has to be a l'kicha that is recognizable to, I'm sorry, not recognizable, sorry. It has to be done by everybody. Meaning by virtue of the fact that it says, u'l'kachtem, and you. Now in English, it doesn't translate well, right? In English, there is no way, when talking second person, to differentiate between an individual versus a group, right? I say you to one person. I say you to many people. Okay. Certainly, could be more formal about it, but there's no differentiation. Obviously, b'lashon hakodesh, so it's differentiated. It says ulakachta versus ulakachtem. So when it says ulakachtem, so good. So that's talking now about the totality of the Jewish people. Everyone's got to take dalaminim. So that's biyad kol echad ve'echad. So and lachem mishalachem lo tzitzah shol v'sagazol. And as long as we're darshaning, so the Gemara now is just going to continue darshaning the psukim. Again, we've heard this before. So lachem means it has to be yours. You have to be in ownership of it. It can't be barred. It can't be stolen. Biyom afilo b'shabbos. Biyom is going to be, even if it is on Shabbos, you're going to take. Momentarily, the Gemara is going to ask the question, what exactly about dalaminim is do I need a heter in order to override the Shabbos? Meaning it's muksa. But muksa is not an iser daraisa. I need a drasha min haTorah to allow me to take it on Shabbos. Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to come back to that. And finally, Rishon afilo b'gvulin. So the word Rishon, meaning it's day one, wherever day one may be, in the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Beis HaMikdash, you got to take it. That's it. That's the drasha we're looking for right now, specific to our Gemara. Ha Rishon malam shein adoche ela yom tov ha Rishon bavad. And the hay is coming to tell me that it's only going to be overriding the first day and no other day of Sukkos. Ad Khan. That takes us through a series of drushas of the Pasuk. Again, a number of them we already heard before. But what we were interested in is in the drush of Rishon, which is that there's a mitzvah of Lekichas Dalaminim, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash as well. On day one, there's a mitzvah for everybody to take Dalaminim. Amar Mar. By Yom V'afilo B'Shabbos. So the Gemara now is going to backtrack, and the Gemara is just simply going to revisit this drasha that we just said, that when the first day coincides with Shabbos, so now you're going to be taking lulav, and you have a heter min haTorah to do so. A heter min haTorah? What Isser Torah is there that I need a heter min haTorah? So, michtei tilto ba'amahu, it's der chalam, ishrei tilto? look, it's an issa de rabbanan. But that means that at the writing, at the time of the giving of the Torah, so there was no issa whatsoever. An issa de rabbanan of Tiltal was in fact instituted by the rabbis, but that's of course at a later period in time. And when the Torah is giving us a drasha that it is in fact mutter to do so on Shabbos, what violation of Shabbos was the Torah addressing? Certainly it wasn't Tiltal. So the Gemara says, Amara Valonitzucha Ella Machshir Lula Valiba Dahaitana. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the drasha over here is only responding to one Tana, and that is specifically Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that we come across throughout Shas, and that is that when there's an allowance to override Shabbos, it's not just for the mitzvah itself, but also machshirin as well, right? We spent a good amount of time with Shitas Rabbi Eliezer back in the 19th parak of Shabbos. You recall the mitzvah of Mila when the baby's eighth day coincides with Shabbos. So then now there's a mitzvah of Mila which is going to override the Shabbos. Okay, which means that there's a heter and a Torah, that you perform the mitzvah of Mila, despite the fact that it's going to make a chabur, you're going to be making an incision in the baby, an excision of the skin of the baby, and that is under normal circumstances a violation of Shabbos. That's chabura, which is presumably under the subcategory of shechita. Okay, we don't have to figure out what tolada it's under, but anyway, it's an issa d'oraisa. Okay, but the mitzvah overrides the Isra Torah. That is what we learned back in the 19th parak. And then we were treated to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Now it happens to be we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the allowance of the mitzvah of Mila is not only for the mitzvah itself, but machshirin as well. Which means that in the event that, let's say, we don't have a knife. Okay, so you can carry, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can carry the knife through Rishus HaRabim. Let's say I don't even have a knife in the vicinity. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can make a knife. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can cut trees down in order to make fuel, in order to melt the metal, in order to make a knife. Now, I don't know if you could do that all in one Shabbos, but it doesn't matter. The point over here is that if in theory it's possible, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could do so. Why? Because not only is the mitzvah Docha Shabbos, Machshirin does Docha Shabbos as well. How does that work now regarding Lulav? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, according for Lulav, if let's say, for example, you didn't pick it off the tree, according to Rabbi Eliezer, on Shabbos, you can go there with a good pair of I was going to say good knife. You can go with whatever cutting implement you have, and you can cut it off the tree. And now you have a lulav, and same thing with the esrog. You can pluck it off the tree, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, back to the Gemara. Why? What's the basis? I'm a krab. Bayom va'afilu b'shabbos. It says, Bayom va'afilu b'shabbos. Okay, that is all according to Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Now, again, there's a whole school of Tanaim who don't agree with Rabbi Eliezer, and that is the accepted viewpoint. That's the normative halacha that we don't passing like Rabbi Eliezer. So presuming that we don't passing like Rabbi Eliezer, what do we do with the word bayom? I don't need the drasha of bayom va'afilu b'shabbos. There is no violation of taking dalaminim that is keneged Shabbos. It doesn't violate the Shabbos. So v'rabbanan habayom my avdilei. So here we go, classic back and forth in the Gemara in terms of what each of the Tanaim are going to do with the pasuk. So me bayle bayom v'lo b'layla. So for the chachamim, bayom tells me that the mitzvah of lulav is only bayom, not at night. V'Rabbi Eliezer bayom v'lo b'layla menale nafke lemisefer dekra. Now, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, he arrives at that same conclusion, but only going to the end of the pasuk. V'usmachem v'fnei Hashem lokechem shivas yamim yamim v'lo leilos. So it says that you have to rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days, days and not nights. The Rabbana, now according to the Chachamimimi, Hasam Havamina Leilav Yamim Yamim Misukah. Well, if the Torah would have said Yamim, I might have thought that we should connect Yamim to Sukkah. Malahalan Yamim Vafil Leilos Afkan Nami Yamim Vafil Leilos. Just like Sukkah is a mitzvah for both day and for night, so too I would have thought Dalaminim is also a mitzvah for both day and night. Now Sukkah is a mitzvah for both day and night. How do we know that? Now it's so funny, after 43 blot of Gemara here in Sukkah, like just the simple idea that the mitzvah of Sukkah, where's the source that tells me that Sukkah is day and night? We've been discussing for the first two parakim, well, mostly about the construction of the Sukkah. But we've been talking about sleeping in the Sukkah, eating in the Sukkah, doing all activities in the Sukkah. And it's so funny, we have not yet, I mean, we know this, but we haven't said the drasha yet that tells us that the mitzvah of Sukkah is Yomam V'Layla. So, okay, good. The Gemara discusses if a sukkah gufa minalan. How do I know that sukkah is yamam v'layla? The Tanur Rabbanim, we learned in a brisa. B'sukkah's teshu shivas yamim, yamim v'afilo leilos. Okay, so we have a brisa. Brisa says day and night. Atomer yamim v'afilo leilos, v'ayinu ala yamim. Okay, but the brisa pushes back. How do I know? How do I know it's day and night? Maybe it's just day. V'lo leilos, v'dinhu. And the Gemara says, and now, let's use midos. Let's use some methodology in terms of which is the correct avenue that we should take. So namar kan yamim and namar balul of yamim malahal and yamim velo leilos af kan yamim velo leilos. So look, by dalaminim the Torah says yamim, it actually says yom, but no, at the end it says right shivas yamim. It says yamim by lulav, and it's only day not night. So maybe by sukkah it's only day not night. Oklach lederech zu, the Gemara says, or maybe no. Nemra kan yamim, v'nemra bimiluim yamim, by the inauguration of the Mishkan in the Midbar. So there were 7 inaugural days. That's the Shivas Yamei Hamiluim. And we know that the Shivas Yamei Hamiluim, the Torah says the words yamim, and that's a reference to both day and night. So ma lahalan yamim v'afilu leilos, afkan yamim v'afilu leilos. Now, Rashi points out, by the miluim, it says it. It says it beferish, day and night. So over there we have the word yamim, and it says, and it means day and night, and it says day and night. So the same thing is true regarding sukkah. Okay, so should I compare sukkah to dalaminim? Should I compare sukkah to miluim? That's what's on the table right now. Nira lemi dama, the Gemara says, okay, which one is more comparable to? So dana davashim mitzvasa kol hayom, mi davashim mitzvasa kol hayom. V'ayochich davashim mitzvasa sha'achas. On one hand, it's more comparable to miluim, because just like miluim is for 7 continual days, contiguous days. So the same thing is true regarding sukkah. 7 contiguous days. And that would be day and night. What's the mitzvah of lulav? You pick it up, you put it down. It's just a momentary mitzvah. So oklach lederech zu. We could go in another direction. And that is danim davashim mitzvah saladoros. Mi davashim mitzvah saladoros. Vayochichim miluim. Sheino noagas ladoros. On the other hand, the mitzvah of dalaminim is for all generations. The mitzvah of lulav is for all generations. What about the mitzvah of miluim? Okay, that was a one-time historical event when they set up the Mishkan, so they had miluim. So it obviously makes more sense to compare sukkah to dalaminim because they are both ladoros. So tamalamar, as we're now on the top of mem gimel amid beis, so tamalamar teshvu legzera shava nemar kan teshvu v'nemar b'miluim teshvu malahalan yamim v'afilu lelos. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it's just a question of binyan avin and making comparisons and looking for precedent, so the Gemara says, look, there's nothing conclusive. I can't say that it is going to be, it's going to be more comparable to dalaminim. It's going to be more comparable to miluim. So, but what we do have end up with is xerishava. And xerishava, that's just simply facts on the ground. I have a word here, I have a word there. I have a Mesorah that tells me that these words are to be connected. So we have a now hyperlinked the mitzvah of sukkah to the mitzvah of the miluim. And just like the mitzvah of miluim is yomam v'layla, so too the mitzvah of sukkah is yomam v'layla. And in contradistinction to lulav, lulav is only by yom and not by layla. Okay. All right. That was all one really long sentence. Okay. And just to conclude, so what we come out over here is as follows. The mitzvah of lulav is going to be overriding the mitzvah of Shabbos, but only when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, then and only then is it going to override. Now, why is it going to override as opposed to where Shabbos coincides with any other day? And just to emphasize the Gemara's question, we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash where there is a mitzvah, min ha-Torah, to take dalaminim for all 7 days. And so why don't we just simply say that whatever day Shabbos coincides with, day number 1, day number 2, all the way to day number 7, whatever day it coincides with, so it should override the Shabbos. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's answer is, it's a two-step answer. Step number 1, gzera derabba, meaning that the Chachamim were concerned that if we are going to end up taking it, we're going to end up carrying it. And since we're going to end up carrying it, So the Chachamim were concerned, and so therefore they told us to sit this one out, not to take the Dalaminim for concern of the Malacha of Hotzah. You're hopefully wondering how do the Chachamim have this power to do that? And the answer is Rashi brings it down. Rashi and the Amud Aleph. I didn't read the Rashi, But look back. It's an obviously a really it's an essential. It's a fundamental Rashi. You can find the Rashi Ella Rishon, the Im Tomar. Rashi writes. I'm just reading the short Q&A of Rashi. The Im Tomar Nimsu based in Masen LaAkor Davar Min HaTorah. So what they're doing is they're uprooting a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Gemara says yes. Ha Usvina BiYavamos. The Gemara in Yavamos already covered this, and the Gemara in Yavamos says Vishanin and Sheve Al Tasashani. So this is within the legislative power of the Chachamim. Where what the Chachamim can do is that they could say that, look, because of a consideration, obviously they're the ones who legislate what those considerations are, but because of a consideration, so what the Chachamim say is, yes, what you could do is that you could be Oker Davar Min HaTorah, but only through Sheva Al Taseh, but only through passivity, meaning they can tell us to just simply not to take the lulav. Of course, that means that we're going to be neglecting the mitzvah of lulav, but it's within their power to do so. Hotza is the consideration.
Is it
when you say mitzvah, it's an issur d'rabbanan. It's an issur d'oraisa. Hanacha is just is a condition within hotza, right? In other words, to do hotza, so you need an akira, you need a hanacha. So fine, but the okay. So anyway, so it is within the powers of the chachamim to do this. Good. That's the Rashi and the Amud Aleph. Okay, and just to finish up, and just in terms of summarizing our really long sentence of the Gemara, so just to finish up, so if that's true, so why don't we say the same thing regarding day one? Meaning, if what the Chachamim were weighing is that we don't want Shabbos to be violated, and therefore, right, it's a big deal, and hopefully I'm emphasizing this enough. In other words, and therefore, we are going to be waiving the mitzvah of lulav because of our concern for Shabbos, so why shouldn't that be true on day one? On day one, So there should be also a gzera as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, but day one's different. And the reason why day one is different is that not only is there a mitzvah in the base of Mikdash, but there's a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael as well. The entire Jewish people have a mitzvah of Dalaminim on day one, and so therefore the Chachamim didn't want to go that far. So when Shabbos coincides with day one, so then they said for that, so we're not gonna override the mitzvah of Dalaminim. Everyone's gonna take on day one. So the Gemara says, okay, really? So that's what we should do, right? So the Gemara says, well, we're living out in Bavel, and because we live out in Bavel, and we have an uncertainty in terms of which day is day one, so therefore we don't do it. So the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they should. So where we ended off, and this is not the end, this is just the middle, but the Gemara said, you're right. In Eretz Yisrael, when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, so then you should be taking Dalaminim. Again, that's not the conclusion, but that's where we're at in the Gemara. And then for the rest of the end of this first part of today's daf, we just went through all the drushas. How do I know there's a mitzvah on day one af begvulin? How do I know the mitzvah of lulav is only bayom velo belaila? How do I know the mitzvah of sukkah is bayom uvelaila? And we went through all the drushas. Good. That's all. That all brings us now to the end of the first half of today's daf. And again, it's an incomplete conclusion. I know I repeated myself, but it's important. Just that we should know. Right now, the conclusion is incomplete. Arava Shiva Ketzah. Now, there's a mitzvah of Arava. Okay, now, what we have nowadays is Hoshana Rabbah. So we take the Arava nowadays, and we hit him on the ground, and it looks a little bit strange. It's a Minag Nevi'im. Now, I say Minag Nevi'im, I'm really referring to tomorrow's daf. So, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to talk much more detail about what we do nowadays with the Arava. But right now, we're not discussing that. We're discussing in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so there was a mitzvah in the Torah of Arava. Now, what exactly was the mitzvah? That's a wonderful question. Tomorrow's daf as well, we're going to be deliberating exactly what the mitzvah was. It involved Arava. That much I could say definitively. And it's all 7 days of Sukkot. And it involves the Beis Hamikdash, and it involves the Mizbeach. Now, in terms of more detail, stay tuned. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing it, the end of today's daf, but really tomorrow we're going to be discussing in more detail what the mitzvah actually entailed. Okay, but notwithstanding, what did we learn in our Mishnah? So in our Mishnah, we learned as follows, that you're going to be doing the mitzvah of Arava all 7 days. In other words, it's a 7-day mitzvah. So the mitzvah of Arava, whatever exactly it is, we do it for all 7 days. Now, obviously, one of those 7 days is going to be Shabbos. So what the Mishnah taught us is that on Shabbos, you're going to be taking a break from the mitzvah of Arava. However, if Shabbos coincides with day 7, so then you're going to be doing the mitzvah of Arava even on that Shabbos. Okay. So now we have a lot of explanation that we need to do. Well, why should that be? Well, if Shabbos coincides with any other day, take a break that year from a Rava, which means on that year, how many days are we going to be doing the mitzvah of a Rava? Only six. But when the seventh day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, the mitzvah of a Rava, all 7 days. So we have our work cut out for us. We need to explain. That's what the Gemara is going to do. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we are third line down, last word. A Rava Shiva Ketzad. A Rava Bishvi my time Dachya Shabbos. So when the Shabbos coincides with the seventh day, so it's going to be Dachya Shabbos, the Gemara wants to know why. Why should that be? So I'm Rav Yochanan Kedei Lafarsa Mashim in a Torah. So Rav Yochanan says because we want to publicize, right? We want to. It's a point that needs publication, and that is that there's thing called mitzvah of a Rava, and how big a deal is this mitzvah of a Rava? And again, we're not talking about nowadays. We're talking about in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. It's such a big deal, it's going to override the Shabbos. Oh, okay, fine. Meaning if I see something that's overriding the Shabbos, I can easily conclude that's a big deal. To which the Gemara says, okay, Yahachi lulav nami, litchei kedei lafarsim oshim in atara. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the same thing regarding lulav? Meaning if we want to accentuate that it's a mitzvah in atara, so why don't we have it simply override the Shabbos in order to be mefarsim. Now, we have to be mefarsim that lulav is min haTorah. Why does it need PR? Right? It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? So as Rashi points out over here, yes. The ulakachtem lachem biyom harishon, priyetada kapas tamarim, et cetera, that is a pasuk in the Torah. And it doesn't, that doesn't need extensive PR. But you know what needs PR? The mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. As we've already established, there's a mitzvah of lulav for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Where's that in the Torah? So it's at the end of the Pasuk. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim. Now I ask you, if I had the Pasuk, would I have known that that's talking about the mitzvah of lulav? Torah just simply says, usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim. Now contextually, it is in the same Pasuk of Dalaminim, but it doesn't say, and you're going to be taking lulav for 7 days. It just simply says, usmachtem. So Rashi points out, that's what the Gemara now is pointing out. That needs PR. We have to emphasize that that's min haTorah. So the Gemara says, so why don't we do that? So why don't we have the mitzvah of Dalaminim in the Beis HaMikdash Ovarai Shabbos? Just like you said that by Arava. So we need to publicize the fact that it's min haTorah. So the same thing is true regarding Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Lulav Gzerim Mishum Derabba. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember that we did entertain this idea, but we also pointed out that we're concerned about the violation of Shabbos. So therefore, the consideration of Shabbos is going to override the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Arava Nami Nigzar Arava. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing by Arava as well? So Shluchei Beis Din Maisi Lei. Lulav lachol masar. So the Gemara says, well, look who's responsible for the mitzvah. When it comes to the mitzvah of a Rava, so who's responsible for it? So that is, the Gemara says, shluchei Beis Din. So it's going to be emissaries of Beis Din. So they're not going to violate the Shabbos. They're going to be really careful. However, when it comes to lulav, the mitzvah of lulav is for the masses. Okay. So obviously by the masses, you have a wide range of people. So those who are very, very observant of Shabbos and those who are observant of Shabbos, But just simply not as careful. And so therefore the Chachamim have to understand that when dealing with the masses, they do understand that when dealing with the masses, so extra protection is necessary for Shabbos. The Gemara says that's the difference. So the Gemara says, Yahachi kul yuma nami litche. So the Gemara says, look, so let me get this straight. So by Arava, what we're doing over here is that we're specifically having it, the mitzvah of Arava, override the Shabbos, so that we're publicizing that's min haTorah. So the Gemara says, okay, so why is our Mishnah only limiting this to when the seventh day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos? If the whole issue over here, not issue, but if the goal over here is to publicize the mitzvah of Arava, so then every Sukkot, regardless of when Shabbos coincides, so it should override the Shabbos in order to publicize that this is a mitzvah min haTorah. And why are we limiting it only to those Sukkot's that Shabbos and the seventh day coincide? It's a really strong question. But the Gemara gives a really strong answer. Also lepakpuke belulav. So the Gemara says, because here's what's going to happen. If let's say that every year a Rava is going to override the Shabbos, regardless of when it comes out. So now here's what's going to happen. Let's take a look at our Rava, and let's compare it to Lulav. You see, Lulav only overrides the Shabbos only when day one coincides with Shabbos. But any other year, and when Shabbos coincides with any other day, it's not going to override it. Ooh, a Rava, on the other hand, it's overriding all the time, and people are going to say a Rava is up here, and Lulav is down here. And people are going to be mezalz on the mitzvah of lulav. Meaning, relatively speaking, I see how everything ranks, right? A rav is so important; it's always going to override the Shabbos. Lulav only overrides when Shabbos coincides with day one. I see where lulav ranks, and so therefore the chachamim are concerned that people are going to be mezalz in the mitzvah of lulav. So the Gemara says v'litche b'yom tov rishon. So okay, good. All right. So that's why for a rava. Just to make sure that people understand that a Rava is on par with Lulav, so it's only going to be one day that's going to override the Shabbos. Okay, so why day number 7? Why not day number 1? That's the Gemara's next question. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if it's day number 1, people are not going to realize, because if the first day that coincides with Shabbos, so what are we allowing? Two things. We're allowing the mitzvah of Lulav, and we're allowing the mitzvah of a Rava. And if the whole issue over here, if the goal over here is to promote that a Rav is a mitzvah in the Torah, so you haven't done good promotion. In other words, because people will say, sorry for my boxing reference, but a Rav is just it's the undercard. It's just, you know, it's a preview fight. In other words, the main attraction, of course, is lulav, and a Rav is just there to it comes along for the ride. It's piggybacking off of lulav. The Gemara says milsa elam mucha milsa amrei. People are going to say lulav hu dekadache. So it's really lulav that's creating the dechia, and a rav is just coming along for the ride. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we want. We want to publicize that a rav is a mitzvah in the Torah. Therefore, we're going to choose one day to override the Shabbos. Now we can't have all 7 days because then people are going to look down on lulav. So it's only going to be one day, and it can't be the first day because then it's not going to be recognizable. People won't see a Rava as an independent cause to override the Shabbos. They'll just simply say that a Rava is just coming along with Lulav. So we're going to have to choose another day. What's the other day going to be? I don't know. Could be day number 2, day number 3. Why day number 7? The Gemara gives a pretty reasonable, rational answer. So Kevin, the Kamafak, Lemirishanuk Mashvia. So the Gemara says, look, once you're taking it out from day 1, so we want a more concrete day. Day 7. In other words, day 7 is not one of those middle days, which obviously it's all min haTorah. But in other words, but it's something that's more concrete. So yahachi aidna nami litchu. Okay, so where are we right now? So we're at the point where we have just established that what the rabbis did is that they selected a day, specifically the 7th day, where if the 7th day coincides with Shabbos, so the mitzvah of a Rava is now going to. Is going to override the Shabbos. And the reason why they did that is to broadcast and to promote that the mitzvah of Rava is a mitzvah min haTorah. It's not written in the Torah. It's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. We're going to be hitting that point 2 times tomorrow. Good. So it needs broadcasting. It needs publication. Okay. And then just a lot of considerations that the Gemara took us through. The Gemara over here, like, really took us through the thought process of the Chachamim in terms of how to work this out. To have the mitzvah of a Rava override Shabbos regardless of when it comes out on any day, so then it's gonna speak poorly of the lulav, so they have to choose one day. It can't be the first day because then there's no promotion of a Rava. The middle days are just, they're the middle days. So therefore it's gonna be the 7th day. Okay, Adkan. Not Adkan, we're still gonna have a little bit more to go in the Gemara, but good. So now we understand why it is that if the 7th day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, so it's going to override the mitzvah of a Rava. The Gemara goes on. We continue. Ihachi ha'idna nami litche. So the Gemara says, so what about nowadays? Now, what about nowadays? Now, nowadays, so first of all, we don't have a base of Mikdash nowadays. So what mitzvah is the Gemara asking about? So Rashi points out over here. Ha'idna nami. Rashi writes, la'achra chorban. Minag Nevi'im Hi Begvulin. So this goes to tomorrow's daf, And what we're going to learn tomorrow is that there's a minag nevi'im. I know that's a strange language, but we're going to see it tomorrow's daf. We're going to be spending a lot of time on that language. There is a, now I call it a rabbinic minag, but the Gemara says it's stronger. Minag nevi'im. It's a minag that was promoted already by the nevi'im, which is that we're going to be taking a rava even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know now, so what it should do, it should override the Shabbos. So, minag nevi'im hi begvulin. Rashi writes, kevin alek alamecha shmida lidcha b'shvi'i v'yatlua v'yachtavua shuchei beisim lafarsim ha-shihi b'mikdash min ha-Torah. And so now, what we should do is that we should do a version of a Rava nowadays, again, as a promotion, as a reminder that it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Sharei lo gazru ala b'shvi'i v'la'acha churban nami. I'm sorry, u'la'acha churban mi gazru alaha. That's what the Gemara is asking, says Rashi. So nowadays that we have this minig nevi'im, so it should be overriding the Shabbos. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's answer is as follows. Ki asa, so diad b'kviyah diyarcha litche. Ki asa barheja amar, so barheja comes along. Now, if you have like an adverse reaction to the words barheja, that's great. It means that you remember the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara at the end of Brachos deals with the character of barheja, and without going through the Gemara over there, he was an unsavory character. However, that's not, right, it's somebody else. In other words, it's same name, right? Unfortunately, he shares the name with somebody who's not that particularly, good. But anyway, it's somebody else. So, Kiasa Barheja. So Barheja comes along. I skipped two lines. Okay. So, Ukmashia Haki Aidna Nami Litche. Sorry. I'm sorry. Hold the Barheja thought for just a moment. I apologize. I skipped two lines. So, Anan lo yadinam bikviya diyarcha. So the Gemara says, okay, but we don't know which is the seventh day. Meaning, if we had certainty, which was the seventh day, so fine, so it's going to override the Shabbos. We don't have certainty. So the Gemara says, inu diyada bikviya diyarcha litche. So the Gemara says, okay, what about those living in Eretz Yisrael? So they know which is the seventh day. They don't have sveka diyuma. So when the seventh day coincides with Shabbos, so then you should be doing the minig nevi'im of Arava. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, kiasa barheja. Okay, now we could say it. Okay, sorry. So kiasa barheja amar lo ikle. So barheja says as follows. Well, you know what? Never happens. The seventh day of Sukkot will never coincide with Shabbos. Okay, now, to be as clear as possible, so we operate with a fixed calendar. We've been operating with a fixed calendar for approximately 1,700 years. Somewhere in the third, maybe fourth century, but probably more like the third century. So with the realization that the Jews were scattered all over the world, so they fixed the calendar. So even though the calendar was done, Alpi Ariya, was done with witnesses and with Beis Din, establishing on a month-by-month basis which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, so they fixed the calendar. Now, in the fixed calendar that we've been operating with now for the last 1,700 years, as part of, right, and I know I say this a lot, but I don't fully appreciate. And as I get older, more and more I appreciate the chachma, the amount of information, the computation that was necessary to make this calendar, which lasts for the foreseeable future. And that's now been now for the last 1,700 years. And as part of the calendar, one of the things that they programmed into the calendar is that the seventh day of Sukkot is never going to coincide with Shabbos. And that's predicated on the principle of Lo Adu Rosh, that Rosh Hashanah is not coming out on a Sunday or a Wednesday or on a Friday. And so therefore, doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And that's what the Gemara says, lo ikla. Now, but mind you, by the way, and this is where the part that can be confusing, the Gemara over here is not necessarily talking historically when the calendar was fixed. The Gemara could just simply be describing, and this is the way that Rashi seems to present the Gemara over here. It's talking about even before the calendar was fixed, and still, according to Barheja, what they did is that they manipulated the calendar. And I don't mean that in a negative way, and right, with no cynicism whatsoever. They manipulated the calendar, meaning they looked ahead to the next couple of months. They see, oh, if we follow this path, so the seventh day of Sukkot is going to coincide with Shabbos. So what they did is, look, they have every month they can adjust a day. So what they did is that as they saw that this was coming, so they adjusted the calendars. So that it wouldn't happen. Okay. So it's a strange thing when you think about it, meaning that they're manipulating the calendar, and right, there are good reasons to manipulate the calendar. So they're manipulating the calendar so that the seventh day doesn't fall on Shabbos. So we don't get into this issue of a Rav on Shabbos.
Wait, that's the reason, or is because of Yom Kippur falling on Sunday and as a side...
Right, there are, again, Lo Adu Rosh, there are 3 days. But Lo Adu Rosh is for the fixed calendar. So there are 3 days in which we don't Rosh Hashanah come out. Two of those days is because of Yom Kippur and what you're describing. That's the Aleph and the Dalet. But another one of those days is that so that Hoshana Rabbah doesn't come out on Shabbos. Okay, good. But the Gemara over here, when the Gemara says Lo Ikla, so what the Gemara is referring probably, most probably, is to even when the calendar was not fixed, in other words, it was addressing a historical period in time when the calendar was not fixed, and still they manipulated the calendar so that it wouldn't occur. Okay. So Kiasa Barheja Amar Lo Ikla. So Kiasa Ravin Vichon Nechuse Amre Ikle Velo Dachi. So and Ravin, together with others as well, so they say, what are you talking about? It's not true. Now this is a funny machlokas, by the way, and I don't fully understand. In other words, we're talking about whether it happened or it didn't happen. Bar Hedger said it never happened. And Ravin says, no, it happened. Okay, right. I don't have my head fully wrapped around what's happening over here in the Gemara. It's fine. I'm admitting. I don't fully understand. But nevertheless, so according to Ravin, it happened. And not only did Hoshana Rabbah come out on Shabbos, but didn't override the Shabbos. Meaning we wouldn't be taking a Rava nowadays. So Ve'ela Kasha, Amar Rav Yosef, Man Le'malan Da Rava Benetila Dilma Bizakifa. So the Gemara says, okay, and you know why? Because you're making some assumptions, and that is, what is the mitzvah of a Rava? Now I have I've postponed this discussion. All right, we'll have it now, really briefly, right now. I see what time it is. We'll have it really briefly right now, but we'll really amplify this tomorrow and explain this a lot better tomorrow. What is the mitzvah of a Rava? So the Gemara is going to have a debate about what the mitzvah actually is. One version of the mitzvah is zikifa, which means that we're going to lean it on the mizbeach. Another one is netila, just like we are shaking our dalaminim, so too by a rava, so you shake the arava. So it could be that maybe the understanding of the mitzvah of a rava is zikifa, which means that we're leaning on the mizbeach. Once the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around, so what does the mitzvah look like? Exactly. There's nothing to lean it on. So Dilma Bizakifa, Aisve Abai Lula Varava Shisha Vishiva. So now the Gemara is going to, just for a couple of moments, litigate what exactly is the mitzvah Varava. Well, look back at our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah do? It coupled together the mitzvah of Lulav and the mitzvah of Varava. So my love Kalula Malula Benatila Farava Benatila. Well, we know the mitzvah of Lulav is Natila. Isn't the same thing true by Arava? So the Gemara says, Midi or Yahakadisa Vahakadisa. So the Gemara says, no. I know they're paired in the Mishnah, but that doesn't mean they're the same. They're different. They just happen to be paired in the Mishnah. In other words, obviously the common denominator is that sometimes there are 6 days, and sometimes there are 7 days. But outside of that, they operate differently. So the Gemara says, Eis ve'abai b'chol yom akifim es mizbech pamachas, v'ozo ayom sheva pa'amim. So, you know, they would encircle the mizbech every day one time, on the seventh day 7 times. So my love Arava. So the Gemara says, now aren't we talking about Arava? And if we're talking about Arava, so the mitzvah's been a tila. So the Gemara says, lo belulav. Now it's talking about lulav. So v'hamar Rav Nachman amar Arava baravua barava. So he says, yeah, but I have a tradition that it was with Arava. So the Gemara says, amalei hu amalach barava v'ana amina belulav. Okay, I'm very happy. He tells you Arava. I'm telling you lulav. Good. So he's entitled to his opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. Okay. Itmar. We're going to stop over here by the word Itmar. We're going to pick it up tomorrow with Itmar. We're going to discuss this mitzvah of Rav in much more detail. Let's recap what is admittedly a complicated Gemara, but hopefully with a clear summary. So we're going to walk away today with clear understanding. The first part of today's daf is a really simple question with a fundamental answer. Our Mishnah taught us that. That when Shabbos coincides with any other day of Sukkot other than the first day, so you do not take the lulav. You do not do the mitzvah of dalminim. Even in the Beis HaMikdash where it's a mitzvah minatari, you do not do so. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. And Gemara's question is simple. Why? Why not? And the Gemara's answer is because the Chachamim were concerned that in doing so, one would be violating the Shabbos. And so therefore, in sensitivity towards Shabbos and a possible violation of Shabbos, so the Chachamim said, "Don't do the mitzvah in a Torah." The Chachamim have that power. The answer is definitively, absolutely yes. The Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Tase. That's a Gemara in Yevamos. Rashi quotes that Gemara. Okay, and then a lot of follow up questions and answers to this basic premise of the Gemara. Well, when the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, so there we are taking Dalam Minim. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's a mitzvah for everybody, not only in the Beis Hamikdash, but even outside the Beis Hamikdash. That's a mitzvah l'kol. So therefore, there it's going to override. The Gemara says, so in Bavel, so new, so why don't we do it? The Gemara says, in Bavel, we are not familiar with Kriya Diarcha. We have Sfeika, Diyoma. But in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have Sfeika Diyoma. So the Gemara on today's daf said, okay, in Eretz Yisrael, they should do so. Now again, as I've already repeated numerous times, hold that thought, because that's not going to be the conclusion, although that is the conclusion of today's daf, but we got more to go. Okay, so please come back again tomorrow. The Gemara on the end of the Amud Aleph of today's daf goes through a whole series of drushas. How do I know that lulav is only during the day, not at night? How do I know that sukkah is during the day and the night? Okay, and we went through a series of drushas. How do I know that the mitzvah of lulav on the first day is for everybody? It's lakol, both in and outside the Beis Hamikdash. Again, a series of drushas that we went through all on the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, so we went through the next part of the Mishnah. The mitzvah of a rava. What the mitzvah actually is, it's interesting. The Mishnah doesn't tell us, right? The Mishnah just simply says, you know, the mitzvah of a rava. And in the end of today's daf, and tomorrow we're going to be discussing in more detail what the mitzvah actually is. But regardless, we learned in our Mishnah that when the seventh day coincides with Shabbos, so it's going to override the Shabbos. But if the seventh day coincides with any, if Shabbos coincides with any other day, even though there's a mitzvah of a rava for all 7 days, but there the Chachamim said, you know what? Don't take the arava. Don't take the arava. Now, why not? Now, it is a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not beferish b'Torah. It's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. But nevertheless, it's not going to override the Shabbos. It will override it only on day number 7 when Shabbos coincides with day number 7. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, because it's a PR issue. We want people to know that there's a mitzvah of arava min haTorah, and what way to show them that's min haTorah? It's going to override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so should be overriding every Sukkot, every year, regardless of when Shabbos comes about. The Gemara says, yeah, but since lulav only overrides one day, and if a rava would have overridden every day, when regardless of when Shabbos comes out, so people are going to compare and contrast lulav to a rava, put a rava up here, put lulav down here, and the Chachamim didn't want that. So they only therefore limited to one day. Why not make it the first day? It's not recognizable. Why not make it the middle days? They're the middle days. So therefore, day number 7. I know that was a lot of steps, but right. Hopefully we got it all clear. That's why day number 7. The Gemara now wants to know, okay, nowadays, so we have a minig nevi'im that we do a rava for right on all 7 days. And no, again, that's we're gonna clarify that point tomorrow. But when the seventh day where we do a minig nevi'im and it coincides with Shabbos, so now it should override the Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, according to Bar Hedja, never happens. In other words, and again, this is probably before the calendar was fixed, but even before the calendar was fixed, Bar Hedja was arguing, the Chachamim manipulated the calendar so it wouldn't happen. Ravin says, I don't know what you're talking about. It happened. And despite the fact that it happened, it doesn't override the Shabbos. And then it led us to the Gemara's debate, which we're going to be starting with tomorrow, in terms of what exactly was the minag nevi'im of a rava, which really also is connected to what's the mitzvah of a rava, all that to be explained in more detail tomorrow.